What's going on? It's Dukes and Bell on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We start off every day and every hour by saying, hey, man. It is good to have you listening on a Friday. And Mike Bell, everybody's gearing up for this Cowboy matchup. And after talking with our man Fish yesterday in Dallas, and for those who missed that interview late in the show, he basically said, this is not a good football team. They have a lot of issues. They're not as talented as everybody thinks. And, Mike, I'm wondering, is your confidence level up after hearing all of that yesterday?
I mean, I think, as we like to say, sometimes you're too close to it. But, you know, if you interviewed us as you went on in Dallas and you said, yeah, you know, the only thing we can't really do right now is get after the quarterback. They got offensive line issues. You know, Dak's had a turnover problem. And their defense, you know, it's, you can run on it. So, I mean, it sets up for everything I think Zach Robinson and Kirk Cousins want to do. So, yeah, I feel pretty good. I'm not going to, you know, knock wood, but I'm feeling pretty good about this team.
I am too. And it's going down Sunday right here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Listen, the Falcons, I think, if you're telling me, and part of this is when you only have one guy to throw to, and think about Kirk Cousins, guys. He's throwing it to Darnell Mooney. What's up, Darnell? He's throwing it to Drake London. He's throwing it to Bijan Robinson. Hell, Kyle Pitts is in the mix now, as we've said all along. If he gets going, this thing changes. Right now, Dak, the only guy he's throwing to, Mike, is CeeDee Lamb.
Right, and we've got great corners. We know that. We know we've got Ball Hawking secondary that can get after it. Is this the game where all the things we've heard Jimmy Lake and Ross say week after week about getting closer and closer and closer? Well, maybe we finally get there and we make a long Sunday afternoon for Dak. I was driving up 85 today. It was funny. I saw Alabama plates and they had Dallas Cowboys stickers on the car, and I was like, of course you do. I get it. If you grew up in Alabama and you weren't a Falcons fan, I guess you have an excuse to root for America's team. But yeah, there are going to be some Cowboy fans, but I think that they are going to come home with a tear in their beer. And I think Falcon fans, we said it earlier, daylight saving, we know we can get there early. We fall back.
Yes.
No excuse. Let's have everybody's in the seats when the Falcons come out of the tunnel and make some noise and own this thing on Sunday.
Totally agree. We're going to let you hear from Kirk Cousins here in just a second. Also, Bijan Robinson talking about his quarterback and what he expects from the Cowboys. Coming up in less than 10 minutes, Brian McFadden's going to join us, host of All Things Covered, the great podcast, and, of course, CBS NFL analyst. We'll break down all the matchups coming up this weekend with him. Also along the way, Jason Longshore, Mike, is going to join us. Listen, we'd be remiss. We know it's a big football weekend, Georgia, Florida, Falcons, Cowboys, but Atlanta United is in the playoffs. And, Mike, they've got a home match, the second leg of this playoff series between us in Miami. Jason's going to stop by in the 3 o'clock hour. I don't even know what to think about what could happen tomorrow at Mercedes-Benz Stadium.
Look, one thing for certain, I mean, you got basically some of the legends of European soccer from Barcelona playing along with the greatest for my money, and Lionel Messi. But hey, you know, it was a 2-1 match down there in Miami. So at home, perhaps you can extend this series back to Miami. And look, you feel good that you finally made the playoffs after all the things and craziness that happened this year with, you know, manager getting fired, all the roster turnover. So, I mean, you could argue it's a win just to be in the situation, but for people to come and see Lionel Messi, and by the way, the Mercedes-Benz crew is going to be working overtime to turn it around from football with a U to football two O's because that matches Saturday night.
Yeah, it's going to be crazy. Also, our great interview, yes, we're patting ourselves on the back.
It was great. It was freaking great.
I agree. Our great interview with Kirk Cousins coming up later for those who missed it, as well as we head into a big matchup on Sunday. All right, let me let you hear what he had to say in regards to, you know, Raheem Morris. This is first Raheem Morris talking about facing a quarterback like Dak Prescott. This is Raw. Let us pray to the football gods. Gods, can we get a sack this weekend?
Please.
Can we get a sack? Mike, yeah. But let's be honest. Dak's not looking to run.
No, I mean, not like he maybe should be. I don't know. We talked to our buddy Fish down in Dallas, and they said they got a lot of issues. You know, they didn't have any money left over to go get a big-time running back. I'm a big Dalvin Cook fan, but he is really washed. You know, I mean, I'm not saying he can't get 40 or 50 yards if you don't get a body on him. And we'll talk about our injuries because, for the most part, we're clean. We do have some holes in the offensive line, which I think we can spackle together because we got good depth. But getting back to him, yeah, I mean, Dak, you get pressure on him, he's going to turn it over. So let's go. I think it's going to be a high-scoring game. I think the Cowboys are going to score 2 or 3 touchdowns, but we're going to score 4 or 5.
I hope so. 404-726-0929. We'll get to our official picks along the way on this big Friday show as well. You can follow us on social media. He's Mike Bell, ATL. I'm at Put 'Em Up, C Dukes, and the radio show. Dukes and Bell, 929. And follow this radio station at 929 The Game and stay up on everything that's going on. Let me hear from Bijan Robinson because, Mike, we talked to Kirk Cousins this week and we said, you have embraced Atlanta certainly embraced what goes on here as far as the culture.
Going into someone's trap and trying to take over their trap.
And that's what he did last week. And he said, yeah, you know, I had a feel for the city for all those summers we came down here. Bijan was asked about when he first heard Cousins say, come in your trap, take your trap.
You know, when I heard that, I was like, I was a surprise because, you know, we'd be hearing it in practice, you know, saying stuff like that. But I was hyped, man. I was like, yo, he got the catchphrase going. I was like, and then we ran with it. And as we're trying to do, like, we're trying to go to opponents, even, you know, I think the other phrase is like, don't let them walk in our trap and take over ours, you know? Because, you know, it's just as important to get those home wins as we want to get the away wins. But yeah, when he said that, like, we was all ready to go.
All right. They were also talking about yesterday at camp coming up with a nickname for our running back. Yeah, everybody's got their thing. You know, obviously Thunder and Lightning back in the day with the Giants. And anytime you have but these guys are so cool. One guy said Bad Boys today to me on Twitter. I said, yeah, it's been used a few times in other sports, but it's certainly cool. I was being a wise ass girl. I said, how about Tango and Cash? Because Bijan can dance. Yeah. And then obviously Algiers, the guy, can hit pay dirt for you in the red zone too.
I like it. I like it, man. Listen, when you're having fun, you're winning, and you're having success, right, nicknames come. And eventually, whatever's going to stick is going to stick. I like all of that, Mike. I do. Tango and Cash kind of sticks. It's fun to say. What do you think of the movie, by the way, Tango
The movie,
Cash?
It's like, it's Stallone with Kurt Russell for guys that are the 20-somethings, and it's kind of goofy. It does not stand the test of time. It's really cheesy. But it's kind of fun because one guy's like old school Kurt Russell, you know, Kurt Russell's just a regular dude, and Stallone's wearing Armani suits and that one driving the Mercedes. But either way, I'd go with Tango and Cash. I know that's not going to fly, but I've just my 2 cents worth this morning.
Hey, man, I love it. Hit us up. Let us know what you guys think. You can always text the show at 404-726-0929. All right, one more thing from Bijan as we talk about the Cowboys coming into town. We will get deeper into this today. We'll tell you what we think is going to play out. Mike already said it. Thinks it's going to be a high-scoring game. I'm going to tell you later what's going to happen as far as why we're going to win this game, because I truly think we are going to win this game, and that's not me overhyping this. Bijan Robinson talking about what he knows about Dallas coming in here on Sunday.
We know that they just got off of a loss, so, you know, they're going to come in here and, you know, they want to get back on track against us. But, you know, I think, you know, we're really locked in and the plan and what we got going for this week, and, you know, I think we're all just ready to go to get back at home and play those guys.
Yeah, man.
Real quick, Mike, talking about coming off losses, right? We were just earlier today, Mike and I were talking about this with Chris and Oren. The Jets were desperate too last night. Now, when you are losing, you know, like that, you feel like the season is slipping away from you. And for the Cowboys, listen, they're not in first place in the NFC East. Some people don't even think they're one of the best five teams in the NFC, period.
Right.
And so, Mike, to his point, and Coach said it, I think Kirk Cousins said it to us, that there will be some urgency. And you saw that with the Jets last night, is what I'm getting to, and they ultimately end up winning the game against the Houston Texans.
No, it's a great point. Look, there's a lot of talent on this Cowboys team. You know, they don't necessarily have the depth that some other teams have, but they have some name brands. Micah Parsons is out for this game, so we don't have to worry about him. The Jets have got too much talent to be 2-6, okay? It got politicized with Saleh and the media and everything. It was weird. I still don't know why they moved on from Saleh. The defense wasn't the issue. They did need to replace the OC. They got weapons. You saw it last night. I mean, look, they still looked flat, god awful in the first half. Other than another incident where somebody leaves the football at the goal line. Why guys do this? I don't get it. But they certainly look good. And one thing, you know, pardon us because we're down to just one man yesterday. Chris wasn't here to get in our ear because, you know, remember there was no Nico Collins last night, along with, you know, Stephon Diggs. So we were like wondering during the afternoon why the Jets were still the favorite, and that's kind of, you know, Vegas felt they were due, and they were. And the catch is going to stand. I mean, Williams' catch is just insane last night. And I never doubted for a second that he was in. You know, I thought a shin. We just didn't know if it could be a leg and then a shin from the same size leg, from the same part of your body. But he makes
I've never seen that, Mike.
Me either.
I've never seen it.
Me either. But his own version of the Beckham catch. Pretty amazing.
Yeah. To say you need two in.
Right.
And he says, mentally, I'm going to get one down and then I'm going to get this shin down. I mean, that's crazy as far as his mind and how it's working and even the body control. You could practice that 200 times, guys. You might get it three.
Right.
I mean, that was insane. Jets win, and the Cowboys are looking to turn the tide here as well on Sunday. We're coming back. Brian McFadden's going to join us, host of All Things Covered, the great podcast, and, of course, CBS NFL analyst. We'll ask him about this game and much more around the NFL when we come back on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. It is Dukes and Bell on a Friday. Hope you're having a great day. We got to talk some football with our man, Brian McFadden, two-time Super Bowl champion, host of the podcast All Things Covered, CBS NFL analyst, and BMAC. Mike and I were just talking about this Jets matchup last night. And for whatever reason now, at 3-6, some people are saying, all right, oh, this is going to be the spark. They're going to make the playoffs, blah, blah, blah. Give me your opinions on what you saw last night. And obviously, everyone's talking about the catch. You played corner. I mean, you seen anything like that?
The closest thing I've seen to what Garrett Wilson did last night is probably OBJ. Years ago when he was with the Giants, of course, the infamous, famous one-handed catch against the Dallas Cowboys. Oddly enough, in the same field, but the opposite end zone. I think that's the closest that I've seen, guys, based on wide receivers coming up with these entertaining one-hand-like catches. Mm. What Garrett Wilson did was similar to what OBJ did.
Hey, you got to figure something out for me, man. And, Brian, you're way younger than me. What's with these young kids and dropping the ball before the goal line? You know, it started with DeSean Jackson back in the day. Malachi Corley, who out of Western Kentucky gets his chance? And for Jets fans, it was like, oh, you got to be kidding me. What is the cachet or the coolness of dropping the ball right before the goal line?
I think it's more about emotions, Mike and Carl. I think it's more about emotions. For him, that was his second rush in the National Football League. And if you have followed his career thus far, he hasn't played a lot, right? You know, he had a really good career coming out of college, Western Kentucky. But so far in the professional league, he hasn't been out there. So he got an opportunity to get his number called. Outside of that, he actually had a shot to have a defining play in the first half. So I think his emotions got the most of him. But then also, too, I'd like to highlight something. I know we can criticize the player, and that's deserving. But what about the coaching? Because the little things, that's what makes a great coaching staff. They harp on the little things before they become a bigger issue. And one thing I didn't like what I witnessed when I watched that game last night, guys, is when that happened, I didn't see one coach come approach him and not necessarily scold him, but get on his case. All I saw was players patting him on the back of the helmet, patting him on the shoulder pad. When I played, the coaches that I played with, especially if you're a rookie, if you make that type of mistake, they're going to curse you out. And I'm not saying that needed to be done last night, but it's all about, you know, upholding the standard and making sure that you're accountable and you're doing what you need to do, because if you don't do it, we're going to find somebody else to do it.
Yeah, no doubt. Brian McFadden joining us here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. How about them Cowboys? Brian, they come into town this Sunday. They're struggling. We went to Tampa, handled business in a game that ended up being a lot closer than it should have been. But at the end of the day, you got to feel good about what you're seeing offensively with the Falcons. What's your take on the Cowboys right now, and what do you expect on Sunday?
They're a desperate team. They are a desperate team. I highlighted this matchup as we get ready for Sunday, solely because of the Cowboys. They have no room for error, right? The Falcons, they have a little wiggle room when you look at what's going on in the division, but of course you want to win this ball game. For the Dallas Cowboys, you have to win this ball game. You're 3-4. You play Atlanta. If you lose to Atlanta Sunday, your next three games consist of Philly, Houston, Washington. Philly, Houston, Washington. There's a likelihood if you don't win Sunday, you could get through that three-game stretch, and you're 3-8. And if that's the case, your season is over. So for Atlanta, they have to understand they're playing against a very, very desperate team. They need to win by any means. You have to start fast, because if you look at the Cowboys and their losses, what the same common theme, slow starts by the Dallas Cowboys, fast starts by the opposing team. That's what Atlanta has to do at home. Get off to a fast start, because the last time the Falcons played at home, guys, they got off to a atrocious start against the Seattle Seahawks. And that was one of the more bigger upsets that week. So for Atlanta, playing against a team that has a lot going on in the wrong direction, get off to a fast start, because they're going to throw everything in the kitchen sink at the Falcons to try to win this ball game.
It's our man Brian McFadden, guys. He's a two-time Super Bowl winning corner, and as such, how about the job that we saw from our secondary, Jesse Bates? We're used to seeing him ball hawking down in Tampa, but how about A.J. Terrell? I thought, one of his top performances as a Falcon, diving interception, playing physical, just really looks like he's earning that paycheck.
Oh, no question, man. One thing I know about, you know, interceptions, you know, listening to a lot of great defensive backs, they come in bunches and they become contagious. It can spread through your locker room like COVID, right? Getting picks, And Jesse Bates has been a turnover machine since becoming an Atlanta Falcon. And now we're starting to see that same habit trickulate throughout the entire secondary. And I know you guys have been waiting to see A.J. Terrell create turnovers. Throughout his career in Atlanta, he's been a really, really good cornerback, a guy that can follow opposing wide receiver ones and do a great job against them. The only knock one would say about A.J., his inability to get the ball. Now he is getting the football. And that is very, very important because when you look at what this team can do for Atlanta, especially on the defensive side, they're not really sacking quarterbacks, but they're creating turnovers still. That's a big-time plus because eventually the sacks will come, especially when you got guys that can take the football away in the back end. So those two guys are like Batman and Robin in the secondary, and they've done a real good job.
I'm assuming, B-Mac, that you didn't have to worry about pass rush all those years in Pittsburgh. You didn't have to worry about sacks. Guess what? We're worried about it, and we're not getting enough of them. How much does that affect the back end? Because everybody's like, oh, our guys can cover for 8 seconds. B, come on. I mean, it doesn't happen like that.
It doesn't, but I can tell you this much. In watching Atlanta play, it's not affecting the secondary at all. And I love that because now we see a group that's together. Because you guys know how it is. If one group is not doing their job, the other group might start to feel some type of way, which could create some type of turmoil or toxic in the locker room, right? And it seems like everyone on that defense, all three levels, they support each other. And it's about being patient. It's about being patient. The sack's going to come. You can think about this, guys. In the first month of the season, most Atlanta fans are like, why can't we run the football? What's going on with Bijan Robinson? Why can't he run the football? Now they're not asking that question anymore because the offense has solidified the running game and our running backs are running the football well. Remember, this is a new scheme. Sometimes it takes a little time. But the one luxury the Falcons have, they haven't really been sacking the quarterback, but they're winning games. They're sitting atop of the division. That's a plus.
It is Brian McFadden with us guys here on the WaitForIt.com hotline. Catch his podcast, man. It's always entertaining. We got like a few days left. Ironically, it's a big day in politics. And it's a big day in the NFL. I know we're still waiting. Are you surprised the Lions haven't found, or do you think it's going to come in the 11th hour to find someone to beef up the pass rush just like we are? And they're looking to somebody to replace Aiden Hutchinson.
Yeah, I think they're trying to do their due diligence. And they also, too, trying to see exactly what they have with the guys in store. In the locker room. I think that's one thing that they're really trying to assess because you don't want to make a premature move where you give up quality resources to get a proven guy. But I can tell you this much. The game between Detroit and Green Bay is a very, very important game, one of the bigger games of the slate for the NFL. If Jordan Love and that Green Bay offense have success, they don't sack Jordan Love, who's definitely hampered with a groin injury, that might force Brad Holmes to make a move immediately, in my opinion. But I think right now they're just kind of weathering the storm because if you look at the Detroit Lions, they don't need to go get a massive name to really improve their chances to get to a Super Bowl. They just need to get a serviceable guy with experience because everything else they have in that defense is already there.
You believe what you saw last week with the Browns and Jameis Winston? They beat the Ravens. Is this what they needed, a guy that was willing and able to push the ball down the field because we know Deshaun Watson wasn't?
Oh, no question, I believe. I believe. I'm like Jameis. I got unwavering faith. I believe. No question. And the reason why I believe is this, guys. The Cleveland Browns was a bad team record-wise, but they have talent on the roster. It wasn't like that cupboard is bare. The Cleveland Browns, they're not like the New England Patriots where they don't have talent. The Patriots don't have talent. What you see from the Patriots record-wise is what you expect because they don't have talent. The Browns, they got talent. Got a top edge rusher in Myles Garrett. Got Za'Darius Smith, another great edge rusher. Denzel Ward in the back end. Grant Delpit in the back end. You look at some of the offensive linemen that are now healthy. And then Chubb coming back. David Njoku, a really good tight end. They have talent. The morale just wasn't there. And the one thing about Jameis, every stop he's been, right. People, his teammates have always raved about his ability to be a great teammate, and they love him, and they respect him. That's why we instantly saw a change in production when he jumped into the lineup because the team really, really rocks with him. They really love him. Think about it, guys. You two been working together for a long, long time. Y'all love each other. Y'all will work. Y'all will be there for each other. That's why your show is successful. Because the environment that you guys are working in is nothing but positive energy circulating in the studio. When Jameis took – how many times have you seen a backup quarterback that is not supposed to play? He is the guy that gathered the troops together before they go on the football field and give the final speech.
Right.
You don't see that.
Right.
Right?
Right.
Kirk Cousins is the guy who gets guys together for the Falcons. You don't see backup quarterbacks having that role, and the team is okay with them having that role. That told all of us a lot before we started to see some of the bad ball that they were putting on display.
Hey, Brian, before we cut you loose, kind of bounce around the league, I mean, it's so strange. We talked about the Jets earlier. They had to win a game, and they did. They showed you in the second half they got a lot of guys that can, you know, pretty good. Cincinnati still missing T. Higgins. You know, it's still too much. It seems to me there's still a lot of talent. You got Joe Burrow. I can't believe they're going to – they lose to Vegas, season's over, right, for Cincinnati?
Oh, no question. Yeah. That's a must-win for Cincinnati. They have no room for error. They got to try to find a way to win. Their division is pretty sticky when you look at what Baltimore and Pittsburgh is doing. But Cincinnati, they have no room for error, and they got to beat the team they're supposed to beat.
Mm. Has Philadelphia figured things out?
Oh, no question. Philadelphia has figured it out. Think about what I talked about, talent. Philly has talent, right? And the most, I guess, intriguing thing about what Philly is doing now, their defense is playing really, really good football as well. We know their offense can score. We know they can score, run the football with Saquon. We just had concerns about their defense because last year, the second half of the season, they really dropped the ball. Now, all of those Bulldogs they drafted are living up to the billing along with some other guys on the defensive side, so that's a big-time plus.
Brian McFadden, it is always a pleasure, man, to talk with you and chop it up and look ahead to another great weekend of NFL football. And make sure you follow him, guys, and check out the podcast. B, thanks for being here, man. We appreciate you.
Thanks for having me.
Mike, it's funny he talks about that confidence thing with the Cleveland Browns. I do think he's right. Now, I don't know if they beat the Chargers this week. It's hard after a big emotional win.
Right.
And you damn near win on the last play of the game to come back and match that. But maybe the Browns take off. We do know this. If they continue to win, and we still feel this way, I think you do too, the whole Deshaun Watson thing is over. He's gone.
Yeah, and look, Jameis, as we said, and Brian touched on it, everywhere he's been, even though to the outsiders he looks like a cartoon character, guys just love playing with that guy.
Yeah, it's a great point. Hey, coming up, Hawks back at home trying to overcome some injuries. We got a big playoff matchup tomorrow at Mercedes-Benz Stadium. We'll get to all of that and more here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. It is Dukes and Bell, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. The more, or the closer, should I say, Mike, that Tuesday approaches, I know people are anxious. I'm talking about the trade deadline, guys, not that other thing. I'm anxious.
I'm just anxious to never have to listen to another political commercial in my life.
Yeah, it's right? That time of year, man. I'm with you on that, brother. I'm anxious because I feel like we absolutely have to do something. And here's why. If we don't, I'm going to feel somewhat cheated. Now, the reason is because I don't think anybody thought we'd be 4-0 in our division. I don't think anybody thought we'd have command of this division the way we do right now. Guys, if we blow this and don't go to the playoffs, something went completely bad, okay?
Right.
I mean, that's what we're talking about right now. So we're in control of this division. You got a sense that you're going to go to the playoffs. Mike, you got to do something. I'm going to feel somewhat cheated. We're in a position to really do something here.
Right.
And when you go back to 2020, all right, not even this year, this team has had the fewest sacks in the league since 2020.
Right.
That's a total of 116 since 2020. It's 2024, about to be 2025. You have a shot to do something, Mike. That's where I'm at with this. Like, well, Tuesday's approaching, and I'm just, I don't know. Am I the only one
feeling
that? No,
I mean, and I think, look, whatever you thought about the strategy of going with a quarterback in the draft, and we like Michael Penix Jr., I hope he's going to be a star for us too someday. But you got a two-year, the way Kirk Cousins looks now, knock wood, you know, who's to say it's not going to be beyond 3 years? You know what I'm saying? And then we'll have a real hard decision to make. But my point is, you've got a window, okay? It's finite opportunities. We just talked yesterday about Dan Reeves, who's up for the Hall of Fame. You know, how many guys get a chance to win a Super Bowl when you get there? We all know what happened in Super Bowl 51. You got a special team. This team is eerily similar to what we had back in that 2016 season. Now, again, we have young players on the offense. Back then, it was more on the defense. But I just think I'm with you. You got to grab the brass ring. If it's a fourth-round pick, if that's what they're asking for, Za'Darius Smith, then throw in a sweetener. And you get a fifth-rounder in 2026. I don't care. I'm with you. You've got now again that would be like a rental, or maybe you have him for another year, but you've got to find something. He's also 32, so I hope we don't have the same situation as Judon, where you get a guy who's kind of. But this guy, like Judon, this guy's got 5 sacks this year for the Browns.
He does. I mean, to put this in context, guys, we have what, 6, right? 6 sacks?
6, dead last in the NFL.
Okay. 9 players have more than we do as a total team right now.
Right.
There are 9 individuals around the league who have more than we do right now. I'm going to feel cheated if we don't do something. 404-726-0929. That's where I'm at. It has nothing to do with the Cowboys coming in here on Sunday. I'm just saying right now, those phones better be hot and working up there at Flowery Branch.
That's where
I'm at.
No,
because if we let this slip away, and at the end of the year, you and I will be mad and frustrated and saying to ourselves, man, we had a really good offense, but we couldn't. We'll be making excuses for something we don't have to if this team and this front office does what they need to do.
No, and it's not just, you know, oh, you guys just want sacks. As we said, the year we went to the Super Bowl and 17, we were in the middle of the pack with 34 and 39 sacks. So you don't have, I'm not saying we got to go get somebody. You're not going to get there. I mean, you don't have to get there. You brought this up earlier in the week. We looked at some of the teams that led the league in sacks. The Giants are up there as far as this year, and they're not going anywhere. But you've got to be able to put pressure on the quarterback, and you got to get teams off the field. The biggest, to me, Carl, the correlation is third down, we're one of the worst teams in the NFL, and getting the other team off the field on third down. And why do you think that? You think it's a coincidence? No, we got to get some pass rush.
I agree. What do you guys think, man? And by the way, Matthew Judon, step up. We got to see it, bro. We got to see it. I mean, when we got you, we were talking about 15 and a half sacks in your last full season with the Patriots. That's what got us excited. You've come here, and in 8 games, we've gotten 1.5. I hate to be this guy, but last night, Mike, I saw Hassan Reddick sighting with the Jets.
Right.
He was making plays. He almost had a sack last night. I mean, come on. Judon, step up, man.
That's the thing about the Jets. I know we already talked about Monday night, but I should say TNF, Thursday night football. But that's what makes it so frustrating for Jets fans. You've got talent. You know, you've got guys that can get after the quarterback. And last night, if you didn't see it, I mean, they had 8 sacks. I mean, that's just insane.
Yeah.
8 sacks on a mobile quarterback. And by the way, C.J. Stroud called a sophomore jinx, not having your best receivers. Obviously, Diggs done for the year and not having Nico Collins. But, man, he doesn't run. I don't think he runs enough. I think Herb Street brought it up last night on the broadcast. There are some lanes where he can move the chains with his legs if you're not feeling it with the arm.
All right, plenty more to get to. That's just something that's on our minds, and we've been talking about it, but it's like Tuesday's coming, and everybody's talking about the other thing. I'm talking about the Falcons making a damn move, okay? That's where I'm at right now. We're in first place in this thing in our division. Hey, man, Mike Bell, follow him, Mike Bell, ATL. I'm going to put him up. See Dukes, Big O's behind the glass, our engineer. Of course, Turtle is executive producing. Let's hit some headlines. Can we hear from my man Grady Jarrett talking about the Cowboys? We've been talking about everybody else. Grady says he's preparing for Dak Prescott and this Cowboy offense.
I think always keep in mind that he has the ability. If lanes aren't disciplined, if you don't account for his athletic ability, he has the ability to extend plays and run and make first downs or however long. So you have to respect the athletic ability that he does have. But he's always been a pass first quarterback. You know what I'm saying? He's been a guy who can get the ball on whatever part of the field is need to.
So hopefully, again, we're able to shut down the run because they don't run the ball. Mm-hmm. And then you're forcing Dak in the drop backs a lot more than you want or he wants. And, Mike, that sets up an opportunity for maybe us to get to him on Sunday.
Right. So, guys, we've already talked about the Cowboys. I know that you feel that they've surely missed their window in years past. But this year they got a talent gap because of the money and how sort of top-heavy they are. As our buddy Fish mentioned out in Dallas yesterday, they've got obviously some brand-name guys, but they don't have the worker bees that step up when other guys go down. So they don't stop the run. I'm looking forward to us being able to do everything we love doing, Carl, which is we can run if we want, we can throw if we want, we can do play action off of the establishing the run. So, I mean, to me, this really does, you know, again, if everyone does their jobs, let's get after it. It looks like you're not going to see Lindstrom. He's listed as questionable, by the way, today. Dahlman, who came back from his injury, is also listed as questionable. And Troy Andersen is also questionable. Rowe is out. I told you his ankle looked real bad when he was limping off the field on Sunday down in Tampa. But, yeah, so Chris Lindstrom looks like quite – that doesn't mean you can't play, but Hinton certainly stepped up and did a hell of a job last week.
We got some depth at O-line. Coach mentioned that to us while we were up there on Wednesday. It's Dukes and Bell. This hour is brought to you by the Man Cave Store. Visit mancavestore.com today for all your Man Cave needs. Mike mentioned this to start the show. What is up with these young kids? Malachi Corley, what are you doing, son? This is how it sounded last night as it looked like it was going to be a touchdown.
Malachi Corley, as he got into the end zone, dropped the football. And they are going to make sure that he didn't drop the ball before he broke the plane. Malachi Corley, it turns out, makes a rookie mistake. He dropped the ball before he broke the plane of the end zone, celebrating his touchdown. The ball was loose and went through the back of the end zone. And because the ball was live, it becomes a touchback. It's a turnover. And now Houston has the ball at their own 20-yard line. So this game stays scoreless.
Yeah, I mean, I saw it when it happened, and I was like, what the hell? That's why I asked Brian McFadden about it. What? Look, I just thought in the old days, you'd get a few steps inside the end zone, you know, Billy White Shoes Johnson, do your thing, right? I mean, you know, do it over the goalpost, do a dunk, put it over your shoulder, you know, like the old Cowboys used to in the 70s, the Steelers, like, you know, Lynn Swan. But why? I've never understood what the deal was as soon as you get within a millisecond of the plane. I mean, take it and celebrate it, man. Either way, really dopey. And, of course, you know, on the heels, and Al Michaels mentioned it, on the heels of our game, you know, with what happened with Pitts, you know, it's just wacky. Makes no sense.
It doesn't. Aaron Rodgers was talking about the fact that the season was on the line last night. If you missed it, Jets win. They beat the Texans. And here's what Rodgers had to say.
Kind of season on the line there in the second half. Obviously, we wouldn't have been mathematically eliminated, but mentally, to go to 2-7 would have been real, real tough. Hopefully, it's given us confidence so that we can beat anybody because we feel like we could.
Right. I mean, when you see them play the kind of defense they did at times, and you see all the weapons. Scary moment last night when Devontae Adams gets sort of over upended and lands back on his head.
Yeah.
He goes out. Chris, he did come back in the game though, right? He did come back in, but it was kind of scary for a minute. But yeah, man, we talked about.
Can I say something real quick about Devontae Adams, Mike? He's dropping way too many balls.
Big time. Jets fans were letting him hear it last night. And when he made the catch, he kind of got the Bronx cheer.
Yeah. I mean, like everybody was all excited and like, oh, I'm reuniting with my homeboy. He's dropping way too many balls.
Yeah.
I mean, I know he got a touchdown to your point, but like he's looking for him, dropping dimes to him, and he can't hold on to the rock. So that whole thing has still not quite worked like we thought it would.
Yeah, I've been in the darkness.
Yeah.
You got to go in there.
You got to help Devontae Adams come out of there.
Look, when you got Devontae Adams and Garrett Wilson and Breece Hall and Aaron Rodgers, you shouldn't be freaking 3-6 with that. I mean, regardless of whenever Hassan Reddick showed up, that's why people in New York were losing their minds. And I guess Woody Johnson said, I got to fire Saleh. So we'll see. But last night, it was, I mean, the first half was like watching paint dry. Oh. And then the second half, all of a sudden, it got very entertaining. Again, for the Texans, one of the more reliable kickers, Kai Fairbairn, he was hot garbage last night. Missed a couple of kicks with the Texans, and then the Jets pulled away.
Let me hear Adams, by the way, after the game, talking about how they finished.
Be able to come home and have a bad start. You know, we're just going to put it how it should be labeled. It was not the start that we were supposed to have or should have had based off what we were presented with. So to be able to come out here and finish this game, you know, in front of in MetLife and, you know, obviously my first win as a Jet and to be able to do that at home, it was special for me.
Right on.
Yeah. And listen, they have potential. We know that. We'll see where this goes. Mike, Dogs taking on the Gators. It's the cocktail party. 14.5, is that the latest number I just saw, Chris? You can double-check that.
Yeah, I really want to jump all over that because you feel that you know, a young quarterback, Lagway, is going to get sort of rushed and blitzed and certainly get after him. They blitzed up the yin-yang last time they played in the cocktail party. And just, you know, again, but it always goes back to Carson Beck, that poll question where, like, literally 50.5% of our audience felt they still don't trust Carson Beck. And some guys would say there's too many drops and the receiver core is not elite. But I just think, to me, if you're Bobo, run the damn ball. You know, and you're physical, and then you set up your play action, and don't. I mean, I probably won't. It'll probably come out shooting, but I just think, you know, you got to use ETN, man. You picked him up. You stole him from Florida for a game just like this.
Yeah, Mike, it's 15.
Okay.
Big O just mentioned it down the line. It's 15. So
I'm perilously close to jumping down this one.
I know. Me too. I'm looking at it. I've been looking at it all day, and I'm just like, I feel like the dogs are going to be fine with this rest.
By the way, Carl's down at State Farm. He's on TV tonight as the Hawks are in action, right? With FanDuel, FanDuel Network. Just real quick, Mark Bowman from MLB Network, of course, covers the Braves every day. He says, not so fast on putting Charlie Morton out to pasture. He will be 41 here in a couple of days, and he says that Charlie Morton is still interested in returning for another season with the Braves. Needless to say, it wouldn't be for $20 million a year.
No, here's the deal, and I'll take him for cheap. I mean, you paid him $20 million over the last few seasons because that was the going rate, and you felt like that's what he was going to get. Not now, Mike, half of that. I'm being serious.
I mean, the going rate for a veteran pitcher like that, I think 15, 14 would be fine. I'm down with it. You're right. But it would be interesting. Now, that gets us to, with the addition of a guy that Carl is so excited about, Griffin Canning. Yeah, again, playing on a Bad Angels team, over 90 starts last year. So you throw in Charlie, you got Schwellenbach, you got Ronaldo Lopez, Chris Sale. All of a sudden, you got a pitching staff.
Now, it may go from
and
nothing
Strider,
to something.
Strider eventually returns.
Yeah. Now, listen, that's my concern. I said it yesterday. We can talk about the lineup all we want, guys. That's going to be okay.
Right.
We got to figure out who the hell we're throwing out there for 30 starts. And if you're not going to bring back Fried, and we said yesterday, this was yesterday, and if you're not bringing back Charlie Morton, today that may change with the report from Bowman if he's interested. Mike, I kind of hope he is. Listen, at this point in his career, I think you're asking a lot for him to be starting 30 games or 35 starts or whatever it might be. It still doesn't deter me from going out and doing what you want to do, which is add to the staff.
Right.
Let's go still add some arms. Because you're going to have injuries. You're going to have stuff that takes place during the season.
I do think, though, with this window, we talk about a window of opportunity. You know, you've got this young, your young nucleus is locked up. You're getting Acuna back. You've seen what the big heavy hitters were. You think there's any surprise that almost everybody that made it to the AL and NLCS, except for Cleveland, is paying buku bucks? You've got to spend more on pitching.
If you just want to get frustrated, I suggest you go look at what the Dodgers starting rotation could look like next year, and you will be upset. It's ridiculous because Shohei's going to be pitching too. Yamamoto was great. Mike, all the guys that were injured, Gosselin, they're all coming back. That staff is going to be nuts, and that lineup is still going to be good. That's the team you're going to have to compete to get to a World Series against.
Right on.
Hey, man, we're coming back. We got plenty more to dive into. NFL Blitz is on the way. This hour is brought to you by the Man Cave Store. Visit mancavestore.com. It's Dukes and Bell.